And now that the games are over, let the games begin. The time of year that any footy fan, if they're being honest, looks forward to most. Free agency, trade, draft time. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and on today's show, I'll be joined by Josh Barnes to look into the free agents already named in the wake of the Pies' landing of GWS wingman Harry Perryman. And we'll take one last look at 2024, the season that was, including the retirement speculation swirling around newly minted Premiership star Joe Danaher. Here's Josh. Well, thank goodness for that. The grand final's over, so the time of year that every footy fan is waiting for, free agency, trade, draft, the silly season, can begin in earnest. Josh Barnes joins me to give us a bit of a preview because the first, or one of the first, dominoes that we were waiting to fall has fallen. G'day, Barnsy.
G'day, Andy. As we like to say, the balls have stopped bouncing now. It's just balls in the air is what we always say with trades, all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, Harry Perryman, today, as we record this, Andy has chosen Collingwood at his destination as a free agent. This is a little bit of a surprise from a few weeks ago when it seemed that Port Adelaide was really the front runner for him, but Collingwood came pretty late. And I think for the past 2 weeks, people around the industry expected him to choose the Pies. It's his old team he supported as a child. So it's obviously got a history there, and it's a massive coup for the Pies, who really have no trade capital at all to get better. Craig McRae said at the end of the season that he wants Collingwood to get better, to go recruiting, trying to find players. But the only avenue really they had was a free agent, and they got one of the better ones in the pool.
$850,000 a year is what has been reported, and that will probably trigger a first round compensation for GWS, so they'll be happy. But wow, you know, he's a player with 129 AFL games. He's had 4 Brownlow votes, all in 2020, none since. It seems that those unlikely, he's going to become one of those unlikely players on almost $1 million a year.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? There's a lot of these GWS players over the years that have moved from the Giants who a lot of people showing their Vic bias probably wouldn't even know who he is. He's played a bit of backline, a little bit of midfield over the years. Collingwood gave him sort of the wish of playing midfield. He wanted to play a bit more on ball. He's quite tall for an on baller, and Collingwood needs, they probably need a little bit of help on all three lines, but they do need some midfield talent and somebody in their prime in that midfield. So yeah, it's a good acquisition for them. I think it's a real big miss for Port Adelaide. They wanted Isaac Cumming. They didn't get him. He went to Adelaide instead. They wanted Harry Perryman. They didn't get him. He's gone to Collingwood. So now they're sort of looking around. They were searching for that halfback sort of user. And now, did they hold on to Dan Houston? I think the trade value for Dan Houston has got even higher now. Port Adelaide's probably going to have their heads turned pretty severely to let him walk out the door.
Well, and if the offer that Carlton have made to Port Adelaide for Dan Houston is accurate, which was possibly pick 12, which is the Suns' pick 12, so it's not even Carlton's pick 12, and maybe Matt Owies, who's not
even... they don't even have that Suns' pick yet.
No, they don't have the Suns' pick, and Owies hasn't even been offered a contract. That's sort of likely dead on arrival. So is it... is North the only player really in Dan Houston? Either he goes to North or he hangs around with Port and they have that halfback user that they've already got.
Yeah, it's going to be a classic test of that go-home factor. We've seen a lot over the years where players say they want to go home, but they only want to go home to a specific club. If he's that desperate to get home that he's willing to go to North Melbourne, they're going to have a great offer for Port Adelaide. If they offer their future first-round pick, you've got to say that's most likely going to be a top
10.
Six pick probably at this stage. I don't think anybody's expecting North to improve that much. So then their history suggests it's going to be a very good pick. So you've got to be thinking that's a good move for Port Adelaide. I would take that. If you can get a sort of likely top 5 pick for him, I think that's a good result. And why doesn't a team come back into the race now? If he's that desperate to get home and Carlton isn't a realistic option because they're not playing ball, then somebody else can really pop their heads up. He didn't want to go to Melbourne in the end after that was the first destination. But if Melbourne has a better offer, they have better options than Carlton do, they really want him, then they can definitely offer better than Carlton has. And
certainly,
he's still going to a team that thinks itself in the premiership window of sorts, Andy. Melbourne fans might debate that, but it's more likely he'll be winning there. So if he really wants to get home, then Melbourne should come back into the picture.
He's still playing with, you know, despite his reservations around the culture or the problems that Melbourne's had, they still have Christian Petrarca as we speak. They still have Clayton Oliver as we speak. They still have the best ruckman in the competition.
Not sure when this podcast goes live, they'll still have them, but as we speak,
as
yes.
As we speak, yes. So, you know, he's looking at he'd be looking at, you know, the best ruck, two of the best midfielders, yep. You know, Jack Viney or Stephen May, Jake Lever. Yeah, I mean, if he really, really wants to come to back home to Victoria and to Melbourne, then, yeah, he'd be a brave man to say no to the Demons who do still think they're in a premiership window.
Yeah, just quickly while you mention those names, as a Melbourne supporter, what do you feel about the latest with Clayton Oliver? The Melbourne says they're not trading him, but there's always rumours that continue to swirl around him. As a fan, are you getting closer to saying it's time to cut bait here and let him go, or are you still
desperate? I want to see him for one more year. I think last year he played well without a preseason. If he can get a full preseason and he can retain his fitness, we know how good Clayton Oliver is. I'll give him one more year. And maybe that significantly will reduce his trade value. It might increase his trade value, but I think you can't give away a player of that rare ability to, if it is Geelong, you know, they've made a preliminary final. If he goes in and stars the way he did at Melbourne for the previous 6 years, you just bury your head under a pillow and never watch the footy again. So I think Melbourne need to stick with him, given that they stuck with him last year and played him all through the year. He needs to hang around because you're not going to get much for him. You're just going to be able to jettison some of that salary cap.
Yeah, he's diminished on the player he was before this year, but if he gets back to the player he is, there's no chance you're ever getting the return that equals Clayton Oliver, especially if you're getting draft picks. And Geelong, for example, won't have a pick anywhere near high enough. If they're spending it on Bailey Smith, a future first is
exactly
a pittance for a player the quality of Clayton Oliver. So the free agency window opens on Friday. So these players committing haven't officially signed yet, but they're out the door. They're unrestricted free agents. As we said, Isaac coming to Adelaide, Harry Perryman to Collingwood, Nick Haynes from GWS also out the door. Everyone's expecting him to land at Carlton. And the other one that we already know about is Josh Battle at Hawthorn. So it's a lot of defenders, a lot of players sort of moving around there, but Battle's another one that'll get decent compensation. And Ross Lyon said at the Best and Fairest on Monday night, the AFL has to do the right thing and give us what will be pick 8 for compensation for Josh Battle. So,
well, if Hawthorn pay him enough money, they will get it, isn't it? It's an objective thing, isn't it? Unless the AFL...
Maybe. We've never been told the secret herbs and spices. It has to be some kind of rubric, but we never get told exactly what it looks like.
Wouldn't that be the first thing that, you know, when you're being criticised by the St Kilda president that's come out today and said that the draft is skewed in favour of the northern teams and the bigger teams and, you know, isn't your first step by the AFL, well, let's open it up. Here are the guidelines, and this is going to be published in the season guide so everyone knows. And nobody feels that they are being hard done by.
You're preaching to the choir here, Andy. And more openness from AFL House. I don't think anyone would disagree in this building.
We were talking in the office just before we go to a break before about, you know, in light of Harry Perryman crossing from the GWS to Collingwood, how many players have left the GWS, even those high-profile ones, how many have left the GWS and improved on their legacy with the club that they've gone to?
It's a good question. Adam Treloar, I would say definitely yes. Jeremy Cameron, yes. You're putting me on the spot. This was a question without notice. Dylan Shield, probably no. Who else is there in the list?
Well, yeah, I mean, you go down to, you know, the starting point with Dom Tyson, no.
No.
You know, the likes of Taylor Adams, no.
No, Taylor Adams, I would say probably a yes. He had some very good years at Collingwood. Vice captain for a team that came within a kick of a premiership. I think it was probably a yes for him.
Tom Bug.
Devin Smith won a Best and Fairest and then disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yeah. He's now a golfer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, it will be an interesting take because the GWS, obviously, by dint of the fact that they are now, 12 years from when they first came into the AFL, they still have a lot of players on their list who were top round draft picks.
Yeah.
And they've gotten rid of a lot of players who were top round draft picks. So it's, you know, because of the quantity of GWS trades out, they're not all going to be winners. But Collingwood will be hoping that at $850,000 a year, Harry Perryman's one of them.
Yeah, well, and it's the funny thing about this system is that they have lost so many players, but because a free agent signs somewhere else and you get the compensation pick, and often if it's hefty money like Harry Perryman, you're getting a pick equal or even greater value than the player. So they've just been able to regenerate and recharge. That's why they've been sort of a finals contender for really most of the last 10 years, is they've always been able to draft high almost every year because they're trading out and losing players in free agency, and it almost works for them. They get the picks back in and they can keep going on the fly. It hasn't really worked out the same for Gold Coast. They lost some players in sort of a rush in around the Prestia, Tom Lynch sort of era, Stephen May, but they didn't really use them as well as perhaps GWS has, and they've never really had the same quality being able to return and regenerate like the GWS Giants have.
Yeah, well, if you ask Andrew Bassett, that's unfair.
Well, yeah, we know how he says it's rubbish and nonsense is what he would say.
Hey, Barnsley, let's have a quick look back. We'll take a break, but we'll have a quick look back at the weekend's grand final because you made some predictions this time last week.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I'm Andy Belairs. I'm with joined by Josh Barnes. Barnsy, this time last week, it was all about the grand finals, all about Sydney, it was all about Brisbane. You know, it was a toss-up. Who could, you know, everyone was predicting a close game.
Yep.
I think you predicted a close game, Swans winning. I predicted a close game, the Lions winning. But it turned out to be nowhere near that.
No, it was an absolute pantsing, wasn't it? I will say, Andy, while you're hitting me up with my predictions, pre-season I said Brisbane would win the flag. So surely that gives me some credit. But I did jump off them like everybody else at about round seven and thought there's no hope. But yeah, it was just a crowning achievement. It was one of those grand finals where it is really sort of a cakewalk in the second half and you can soak in the great moments, which is sometimes nice. It's not always great for the neutral. Sometimes it's good for the journalist being able to get your stories in on time.
Certainly.
But yeah, it was just a domination. It's deflating for Sydney. It was a crowning day for Chris Fagan, and Joe Danaher is probably the running story left out of the match.
Absolutely. He was my tip for the Norm Smith. Didn't quite get there.
He was close. He was good in that first half.
He was very good. And that last, you could, it really did feel like the celebration of that goal in the last quarter might have been, he was thinking in his head, that's my last act as an AFL footballer, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, definitely. The latest on Monday is Danny Daly, the footy boss, thinks he's probably going to retire. They haven't had any official word. Players at Mad Monday were saying, "Let's do it again, Joe. Come on, don't go." But if a guy's not interested, then you probably shouldn't be keeping him. But it leaves a big, big hole, I think, for the Lions if he does walk out of the club. It's unlike a free agent or something, they get nothing back. So it's just an empty list hole. They do have cap space from what is believed to be a $1 million deal for next year. So that's good news for them. But they can't really go shopping for a key forward. There's not many on the market to replace him. Suddenly that means Eric Hipwood's your number one forward. He obviously had groin injuries, but he really finished the season slowly. So it hampers sort of the premiership contenders of a team that we walked away from Saturday before knowing what was happening with Danaher, thinking they've got to be favourites next year with five guys returning from knee injuries and Levi Ashcroft coming in the door. But if you don't have a full forward, it probably makes things hard.
You wonder if, you know, the way that Geelong has been able to restructure not just their salaries but training schedules and loads and things like that to keep the likes of Tom Hawkins playing for another few years and keep him interested and wanting to play. You wonder if the Brisbane, being in that premiership window, wanting to go back-to-back, you know, if they'll try and construct something around Joe that allows him to play, maybe not every week, but allows him to play without having the burdens of that he may have already got, he may have got sick of.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing, I think, with this story is that it looks like, from the outside at least, it is very pampered towards him. He doesn't even live in Queensland. He can drive into training. He doesn't hang around with his teammates as much as some other players. He's never forced to do media. He only speaks to the media sort of once a year. Declined media even after winning a grand final, which is essentially unheard of. So there's no pressures on him from the outside, it seems. It seems like they're happy for him to virtually run his own race there, do as he likes, but he's still keen to get out. And to be fair, if that's what he wants to do in life, then all power to him, I think. He's won a flag now. He's proved a lot of people wrong. He's one of the best finals performers in the game at the moment. And if he wants to go out in a high and decides he's not really feeling it anymore, then Good on him.
Yeah, good luck to him. Absolutely. And it will continue that tradition that no premiership team has ever played together again in the history of the VFL-AFL.
Yeah, well, he looks like he would be the only retiree. Dane Zorko is going to roll around again by the looks of it. So, last year, Jack Ginnivan was traded late. Before that, looked like Collingwood was going to keep the whole band together. There's always something that pops up that means they never play again. And Brisbane might have ticked that one off early.
Absolutely. Barnsley, thanks for your time.
Andy,
enjoy the week after the grand final. Yep. You guys, you've got time off now, don't you?
Not much.
Busier than always. Busier. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks very much, mate. That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Josh Barnes for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for all the trade, draft and free agency news throughout the week, with the free agency period opening in earnest on Friday, the news out of week 6 of the AFLW season, and of course, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next time.